Welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and I am very delighted to have Dr. Carmen Hara, author of her newest book, Holiness, and host of her own radio show, Pahay House, entitled We Are One. Dr. Hara is an expansive and enlightened healer, psychologist, and authors her clients an integrative approach to healing using traditional psychology and alternative methods, including hypnotherapy, and her unique intuitive gifts and connection to universal energy for receiving information from spirit, which help her weave a clear vision for her clients to know who they are and how we can all manifest and create beauty, health, vitality, peace and love, and states of higher consciousness, which can hopefully lead to an improved personal and human condition. Dr. Hara is, in my opinion, a role model of love and generosity, and hopefully an example and prototype of the universal citizen of the very near future that we will see more and more of after the events predicted for the year 2012. Welcome, Dr. Hara.
Thank you, Sarah. So grateful to be with you, Cheryl.
And me with you. Some of our listeners may remember that you and I did a show last fall on another of your new books. Yeah, the 11 Eternal Principles. And for those who did not hear that uplifting and powerful show, they may go to the radio page of my website, www.cherylglick.com, to listen to it. Carmen, shortly we will talk about some of the tangible happenings that are going to be possible and are also predicted by you for the year 2012, which is just around the corner. But before we get to that major concern for so many people, can you give us a definition of holiness? And that's spelled, for our listeners, W-H-O-L-E-L-I-N-E-S-S. And how historically, even in ancient days, there was a search for understanding this state of being.
Well, it's a combination of two words, because holiness, the way it's spelled, doesn't even exist in a dictionary. But the word whole, W-H-O-L-E, meaning entire, healed, complete, unheard, and united with everything that exists, is an ancient concept. And if you remember, one of the prophets, the major prophet of all times, Nostradamus, used to talk about not cutting the human body 500 years ago, because the body is whole and has intelligence. So, you know, when we think of the idea of being whole, you think of the idea of being unheard and complete. But if you think of the word holy, H-O-L-Y, you think of something that relates to God, to divinity, to pure. And that's why the Pope is called holiness, because he's considered to be more godly and more united with the divine. So if you combine the two ideas of being entire, complete, and united with the divine, that you create a world of holiness. And I think that for thousands of years, you know, we've been united with everything that exists, that as the time went by, we kind of forgot our divine nature, and we forgot the unity between us, and we forgot that we're all interwoven in the same fabric of creation. And we walk on earth as solitary creatures. We think of me instead of we. We think that we are individuals separated from the whole, when in fact we are much more than just a piece of a puzzle. We're just a part of a greater whole. So this is the idea of the book, how you can unite, you know, your mind, your spirit, your soul with everything that exists around you and live a more fulfilling life. Because for the years ahead, I think the key to living a good life is definitely unity. I mean, I'm always remembering the words coming from John Lennon of his song written 4 years ago, Imagine All the People.
Oh, I love
living,
that song.
Living in a world of peace. You might think I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope one day you'll join me and the world will live as one. And then, you know, Who else other than Michael Jackson thinking about we are the world, we are the people, we are one. So this has been always in our mind, in our hearts, that we are one, because this is the only way the world becomes an unstoppable force, and we can still turn the wheel around before it's the ship around before it's not too late to hit the iceberg. So I'm thinking, where is the antidote for human suffering? Where is the way to prevent something bad to happen to us? It's all within in the idea and the concept of being whole and being holiness. And that is
Yes, that is the concept of this show also, healing from within, remembering who we are as spiritual essence or beings and physical beings. And by combining our lives in that concept, with that concept, we can walk forward and be free of so many physical restrictions that limit our cooperating with each other and our loving each other. And we can rid ourselves of this competitive nature, which has been so destructive to the earth and to us individually. So, Carmen, what are the three truths of holiness? In your book, you divide it into three: transformation, momentum, and divine help. Could you discuss that for a moment?
Sure. Well, I always try to help people understand that things happen in a three-dimensional way, that live here in the physical world, that beyond this world there is a world of the continuous time. And things happen, you know, as we said, in a trinity. You know, the most powerful symbol that is still a mystery of the world is actually the pyramid, the trinity, the fact that things happen, as I said. And I try to actually create a method of observe, pray, and act, which also refers to the element of three. How interesting it is that we collectively, the moment we acknowledge how united we are, how connected we are, how we are in this together, Cher, we are in this together.
Absolutely.
If a part of the world will collapse, you know, economically, you know, we have to stop to believe that we are safer here, because we will be affected by whatever happens somewhere else, you know. What happened is Iceland affects the Greenland, you know. What happens in the stock market will affect the financial business. So we just have to see how things reverberate and resonate at every level of our being. You know, if within you there is one tiny molecule that mutates into a cancerous one, then your whole body might fall apart, you know, and you might actually die just because one single element within you is not part of the whole. And I think that we live in a world when we are so addicted to everything. We're addicted to food, to drugs, to alcohol, to bad relationships, to amphetamine, to everything. You know, people are so addicted to drinking and you know, to tobacco and nicotine, or whatever, you know.
Yeah, don't you think the reason that people have all these addictions is because they have so many fears and they don't know how to release some of these tensions, and they don't really know who they are?
Because they are disconnected. They are disconnected from the reality. They are disconnected from their inner self. As you said, they disconnected from their truth within their self. They disconnected from their wisdom. They disconnected from everything, and they isolate themselves, and they live in fear of tomorrow and in fear of not getting the help they want, not being able to survive. And that's one of the reasons I wrote this book, because I want to show the world how we need to connect the dots, to put the pieces of the puzzle together. We used to say, Cheryl, that at the beginning of the world, at the beginning of times and at the beginning of the world was shattered in pieces. So we were born on Earth to actually take those pieces and recreate that unity. It's so fascinating and so interesting that everything in our life is related to the will of karma. The Earth is round. Your astrological chart is round. Everything is round. Everything moves. Everything transforms. But everything is in unity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In order to complete, you know, the circle of life, to move through, in through time, you know, and to survive, you have to always imagine something that comes in a form of a circle. So even the cover of my book has actually the earth, which is like a beautiful circle on top of it. So, you know, you can actually cut the circle in two or in three, because then, you know, you actually create this harmony. And the idea of holiness is the idea of living in harmonious way and eliminate all these tendencies to self-destruct that the world is going through out of negative emotion, the incapacity of seeing beyond, you know, beyond the surfing and beyond our problems, you know, and acknowledging that we all have them, that we have to, you know, repress the fear, you know, eliminate the fear and replace it with possibilities. It's almost like out of fear, you actually can create a miracle if you acknowledge that there is a way out of suffering and difficulties and out of negative emotion to actually build something beautiful and create a piece of art, or, you know, just simply heal yourself and heal the world around. Because I think that healing actually, again, as you said it in your show, it comes from you within. And healing is actually the whole idea of coming together. I think the world is not too late to be healed.
No, it's not.
It's not too late for the people to create a sacred connection to create a phenomena of healing.
And you know, Carmen, healing comes from within. And I was going to ask you about the circle and the earth on your cover. And we draw our sustenance and our life force from within the beautiful earth that we have been given a short time to live on. And then when our energy changes and shifts, we know that we go, many of us know that we go beyond this physical plane to a fourth dimension, and we continue as energetic beings, continuing to evolve and learn. But I think the picture, the circle on your cover, shows much more. To me, when I look at it, I see the water and the land. I see the heaven above or the clouds, and I see the want to take a break for a minute?
No, that's okay.
Okay. And I see now. I may be seeing this, and you may have had a different intention, but I see a kind of a fire or an explosion or a passion or a changing to bring out from within the true depth of the love and the ability we have to go beyond any situation, any fear, any imagination that's repressing, taking us back from our true path, which is to walk in dignity and our divinity, and to know our spiritual energy as well as we know our physical energy. So were those some of the thoughts you had with that, or was there something else in that picture you wanted to add? That's what I see.
But that's exactly what I thought myself. You just describe it beautifully, and I think probably the designer of the book would just try to, you know, create a perfect representation of the idea of the book, thought the same way, you know, that, you know, this is who we are. It's fascinating how our physical body is just also a representation of the earth itself. Like the earth has majority water, and so does the physical body.
Yes.
The body has earth, I mean, has this connection to the physical movement, and it has fire within it, and all the elements of the four dimensions, four level of creation, which exist actually in the physical body. And so exist earth, water, fire, air within ourselves. And then the fifth dimension goes beyond in the invisible world at the level of the thoughts, of the level of the things that you start not to see in the cognitive level. So they go beyond physics. So it's just fascinating how, you know, everybody who has a near-death experience, they actually start to see a light, an eternal of light, like going into the next, that is much brighter, lighter, you know, where you don't store your negative feelings and emotion anymore, where you come free of all these attachments to the material world. So I saw that holiness has a lot to do with bridging this four level of creation with the fifth dimension. In reality, bridging the world of the physics with the world of the metaphysics, That is also part of what is called holiness and unity of the divine world with the metaphysical world.
And that's what we are going towards very soon in the near future. And how will the general public begin to sense their greater life purpose and their need for healing within themselves and for our planet? And that's going to start around 2012, and it's just 6 months away. So what are some of the events, worldwide events, that are going to be the stimulus for bringing about major changes?
Well, we see that the world is going through almost like a stage of chaos in a way. I mean, we were so scared about the whole collapse of the economy. We are scared that our, you know, leaders cannot keep their promises, that we're not going to be able to survive financially. I mean, the world is terrified. But
it's happening now. The stuff
is happening. You know, and I've been talking about this, Cheryl, for years and years. My first book released more than 10 years ago. But talks about all of this at the very end of the book. Almost like I had my own vision that before we evolve, we will be challenged. We used to say that when species are challenged by the environment, they either die out or they evolve. So we are forced to evolve. It's like that do or die moment, you know. So I think we have a chance to do things by coming together and acknowledging what's happening to us and really understand what 2012 is all about, shifting from one level of evolution into the next, or, you know, decide to actually, you know, collapse and not survive the challenge. That's why this earthquakes are happening and are releasing the energy, the tornadoes, the hurricanes. I mean, things worse than ever, you know, are the response of Mother Earth that we have to go through the challenge, we have to go through the transformation, we have to wake up, we have to start raising the perception, raising the awareness, you know, putting things together to see into what's next, because even seeing into the future is something that we have the capacity to see
and when
in order
we see,
to prevent.
Karmit, when we see and project into the future what more and more of us know to be right, we are going to create it, because that is how all creation happens, from a single thought. And then by uniting with a lot of like-minded people, we're going to make it happen. So I think at the end of your book, you make some predictions. You make predictions about the changing of the financial structure, about the political structure, about the religious structure. Now, for the longest time, and in my next book, I also say that since I have begun to do this spiritual work and communicate with divine help and to give messages to people, I have felt that we need to have one religion, one connectedness to spirit, and we can do this individually from our own being and heart. We don't need all these man-made systems that have created so much friction and so much doubt and fear in people. So you say that at the end of your book, that is part of the way 2012 is going to bring us forward in bring changes into all our systems, the health system, the political system, the religious system, the educational system. And we see now it needs to happen because it is all falling down. So why is this great shift happening now, right at this very moment? Why is it happening now?
There's the end of an era. We used to say that the last 6,000 years was considered to be a season in the cosmic year. And a year has 26,000 years. The sun has 26,000 years, when our year is 365 days, but versus the year of the sun. The sun is the center of the universe and is the center of light. But the sun has its own seasons. But a season, if you divide 26,000 by 4, is around like 6,000 years. And this was a season in the cosmic year influencing consciousness on Earth. This season came to an end. And the end of the calculation, because we created calendars according to all the ancient teaching, and most likely to this mysterious civilization called the Mayan, is ending very clearly in December 21st, 2012. If you add December 21st, 2012, and reduce it to a single digit, it equals an 11. So what it means that we ending the era of Kali Yuga, the era of darkness, low level of consciousness, and entering a golden yuga for the next 6,000 years, which clearly says that this is far from being the end of the world. It's being the end of the world that we created, the end of many of our man-made laws, the end of injustice, mm-hmm. the end of thousands of years in which money was the root of all problems.
Yes.
So we are finally stepping into... What does it mean, raising consciousness? Raising the level of using the brain. The brain, the way we use it for the last thousands of years, was 3% to 10% the max lately. But if we can use like 25 to 50% of the brain, you can take New York City and move it on the planet Mars, you know? So the mind will have that kind of a potential and power of move the physical world, you know, and do those impossible things like teleportation, like levitation that, you know, we were taught for a very long time but could never imagine being possible. But actually the mind has that kind of a power if used properly. So we are very powerful creatures, but we have never used our power because we live in fear in a low level of consciousness for thousands of years. And, you know, we shortened our life and we became more destructive. We disconnected from the ancient teaching. We lost the wisdom, you know, and we used only the so-called knowledge, you know. We became so self-centered and egotistic and dominated.
We used other people's knowledge instead of relying on our own gut feeling and our connection to divine energy, which we all, at some level, some of us have more of a connection and are working more intensively with that connection. But everyone has the ability from within their own heart to meditate and to receive communication from spirit. And I think you mentioned in your book that that's going to be happening in the future more and more.
Absolutely, because the veil between those two worlds, talking about holiness and unity and entire, then you have to consider the two worlds, the world that you see with your sensory and the world that is the world of your of the divine, the infinite world, the world that is, as Einstein used to call it, the world of the continuous time. So we live, you know, a temporary period of time in the world that we created because time is man-made. So we've created a world that is limited in space and time. But there is the God, the world of God, and God in Judaism is called Elohim, which means eternity.
Mm-hmm.
So there is the eternal time. So the spirit, the energy that will never die, because energy always survives the physical death, will transcend chronology. And then as you, we're coming closer to this change in a perception, and as I said, using more the ability of the brain, we'll see that the veil between the world of the physics and the world beyond the physics is thinner and thinner. So I think since Alain Kardec in 1846, we've seen more and more communication with the spirit world than ever. I mean, never ever this has been as popular as it is now, or more believers on earth that, yes, I think I can talk to my grandfather who died I don't know how many years ago. It happens to me all the time. I go on radio with people I've never talked in my entire life, and I, in a matter of seconds, can tell them the name of the parents who died, or even mention people who died 40 years ago and describe them, their physical characteristics. So is it only me? No, a lot of people can do this. You can do this.
Yes,
people
I can do this.
People listening to us can do it. So we will see this happening to all of us in the future, or more so. I think we'll create some kind of a device. Exactly. Like, who could have imagined 200 years ago we're going to have a computer? Who could have imagined the cellular 30, 40 years ago? So if we start thinking that there is going to be a device, when Jules Verne talked about flying in the air, who could have imagined that? So I'm just saying we will have that device and we will talk to the people who are no more in the body.
Absolutely.
But they are in another dimension where actually they have a, and more harmonious, in more harmony than the way they are living now, you know? So it's fascinating.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And Carmen, and it's the way of the future, and it is the way, as you say, that we will use our brain facilities. And Right now, you also mention in the book that energy and time are changing, and that DNA is changing, and that structure.
Oh, that's a big one. That's a big one.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I want to tell people about changing DNA, but a lot of people don't really understand how is that possible. But our DNA is actually, because the body, as I mentioned at some point, is made of 80% water. Then there's gas, oxygen, nitrogen, hydrogen within the body. And then there's tiny element that is solid, which is the molecule of carbon within the physical body. If you burn the physical body, all that it is in the palm of your hand, you know. So the body reduces to the ashes that are, you can keep it in the palm of your hand. I found it that fascinating. Because that tiny carbon element is made of 6 electrons, 6 neutrons, and 6 protons, 666. So within our DNA, there is this 666 encoding within the physical body. What is the 666? I mean, everybody listening heard about 666 being the sign of the beast, or the sign of the mortal mind.
Or the dark shadow side of us.
Exactly, or the sign of the... And you see, we as humans, we've been coded with this 666 symbolizing that we are criminals. We kill each other. We hate each other. We're jealous of each other.
Yes.
And gladly we'll go to war against each other, and we think we have to fight with each other. How can we live in harmony? How can we create the whole, which means unheard, complete, and healed, when we hate each other? How can we create a unity as long as we fight within each other? But what's fascinating is that the Nobel Prize went recently to some Russian people who discovered that within the molecule of carbon, the change is happening from 666 to 616, 6 electrons, 1 proton, and 6 neutrons. So already we're not coded with the same element. So the difference is huge. You know what I mean? It's huge. Turning Carmen 12 into Carmen 7, and that's why these Russian people actually discovered that there is this mutation at the level of the molecule of carbon within the physical body, which makes us be from those angry people who want to live more peaceful, who don't have the same tendency to go to war, who don't want to kill each other anymore. And imagine a world when all of a sudden these negative forces are not there anymore. You can imagine how amazing that change will be within ourselves.
Carmen, I think that this DNA change is going to be the way that so many of the illusions that have held people in bondage from their own true divine freedom and love of life, it's going to be released. So the illusions of control and ego and death as an ending are not going to be programmed into the code of the physical being any longer.
And exactly. That's exactly what's happening.
And then they're going to be more creative, more cooperative. Yeah. There's going to be less competition, less fear that they won't have enough food or clothing or sustenance. This is going to be the way. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
All right.
Without a doubt.
Okay. Carmen, this is just getting away from this for a second, but it's a question that I've been asked, so I'd like to ask it to you. Can you tell us a common question that might be asked by people who call into your radio show about the world of spirit or about what you hope is going to happen for spirit and for us as physical beings?
I don't think I really... Can you rephrase this? So
let me think about this for a minute. All right. Like, for example, I'll say it this way. I was recently asked, do spirits have sex beyond this physical plane? So could you share your understanding of a deep soul connection and how it can be achieved both here in the physical life and in the afterlife?
Everything happens in the afterlife. The only thing that doesn't exist in the afterlife are our man laws, like hurting each other, like all these rules and regulation, all these government issues, all these difference between different gods, all these jealousy and negative tendencies of hatred and, you know, insecurities and fear. about tomorrow. There's no such things on the other side. But on the other side, you look, we used to say that when you pass, you actually look the best you've ever looked. I remember my husband died a year and something ago, and when he died pretty much in my arms. So when he died, I saw a young man getting out of the body, and I remember my husband when was looking gorgeous, like he was a very, very handsome man, and I remember that perfect image that I love the most. And he was like staring in front of me with a big smile on the
face. Yes, and he turned back to look at you as he went.
And he looked
away.
At me and he said, "I don't understand why you're crying. You out of all people who understand so much, you know, you just don't want to cry. This is not about crying. This is probably like when we used to say the Asian people, they actually celebrate, cry when somebody is born and celebrate when somebody is released from the world of suffering.
And going into a life where they will continue to
continue to be young and they can do everything they want to do. Oh, I want to tell you a very interesting story that happened talking about my husband. So that also proves life after life. That was one of the most fascinating story I lived in my life. You know, that I lived it and living it, it has the most powerful impact in your life. I wake up one night like 20 years ago in the middle of the night and went downstairs in my house, you know, to get some water. And I saw a woman in the middle of the house and I realized she's not real. She's just that kind of a ghost. She was red hair. I had a very clear image of her for like 30 seconds. And she told me her name is Julia and she was dressed in a long dress, pretty much similar to the women living in 1840, okay? And she said, "I'm Julia, I'm here to take your husband because he's my husband." So she vanished. And then I thought, oh, my God, what was that all about? And
Did she know his name? Did she know his name?
No, she only said she's Julia, she's here to take my husband
her. Did she know your husband's name?
She didn't mention anything. So listen to this. Years went by, and 7 years later after that, my husband talks in his sleep, and he says, "Julia, leave me alone." I freaked out. I wake him up, and I said, "What did you say?" He said, "Since I was young, I never wanted to tell you. I had a dream of a woman," and he started describing the red-haired woman, who I think lived in another time because she's red hair. She has that kind of a dress. And any time, you know, she comes in my dream, she tells me, "You have to come with me. You have to come with me." And we were talking, I was telling him what I experienced this many years ago, seeing the same woman in the house. And years went by, and my husband developed lung cancer, and he died at the age of 57, as I said, in my arms. And guess what? My husband was an art dealer, and he used to buy paintings after paintings for 20 years. He has a huge store with antique, but he loved paintings. And almost like a year after he passed, because he brought hundreds of paintings, you know, home, and I went through them. I couldn't even look at them, and I found, guess what? Julia and my husband painted in 1830.
I know these things. Yes,
so there was a painting.
There
was a painting of my husband and this woman in another life 100-something years prior to this life.
Well, we know that, and many of our listeners know, that it's not possible to absorb in one lifetime all the wisdom and knowledge that we need. And our soul is always growing. So we have to have relationship and experiences in different places, perhaps even different worlds. Maybe we haven't even had all our experiences or lives in this realm, maybe in other worlds.
Yeah.
No, everything is possible. You know, when I was a little girl, I used to always say to everyone, you know, if I can think of this in my mind, I can make it happen. And when I used to watch Star Trek, and they used to have that transporter, which moves the molecules of a person to another destination, I said to them, you know, it's only a matter of time before these things all happen.
Absolutely.
So there are sensitive people like us, and we remember other experiences from other times and places. And going along with that story, something happened to me just the other day. For some reason, I was thinking of the song, "Give Me Your Tired, Your Poor, Your Huddled Mass," from the Statue of Liberty. And that night, I went to a restaurant, and they sat us at a table before when it was very crowded and we were only two people. And I look up and there's the Statue of Liberty. So the next so the next day I went in and I asked one of the girls who's really good on the computer, could you get me the words? Because I only know that one first part of the song. And she prints it out. And in the second paragraph, there was a reference, because the Statue of Liberty is really big, and a symbol of connection to all nations, and holding a light of freedom and connection to this world and beyond in the light. And and guess what, Carmen? The second paragraph was about the big Trojan horse. You know, that was in the war, the Trojan Wars, and Helen.
Yeah, exactly.
But in my first book, there were many references to Helen of Troy. And once when I had a deep meditation, I asked my soul name, and I heard Helen Troy. And it doesn't mean that I was Helen of Troy. It just might mean I, in spirit, may have studied or been and learned the lessons of that time and place. And these references keep coming back to remind us of all these possibilities that you and I are talking about that are happening more and more to everyone. And it's not deja vu. It's not coincidence. There are no coincidences.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's not synchronicity. It's a matter of us going beyond the limits of the physical world to connect to these higher visions and impressions and experiences so that we can do and make this jump, this leap forward and this evolution. And would you say that so?
Yeah. Totally agree with you. Yeah.
But Carmen, let's get to, as a clinical psychologist and a metaphysical healer, how do you believe the medical community is going to continue in the future to merge this all traditional ways and alternative ways of healing in order to help create the best environment for holiness? Because that's what healing is all about for their patients. What medical possibilities may soon become reality?
I think there's so many brilliant new discoveries in the medical field. They will try to reverse this aging process, because I really believe that we live much longer lives. I said this almost 12, 15 years ago. And I remember that there was a special done by Barbara Walters 5, 6 years ago in which she talked about, the title of the show was Can We Live 150 Years? And I remember I was on Barbara Walters' radio show 3 years ago, and I was showing her my book written 11 years ago, and she underlined where I said we're going to live 150, 250, and that probably up to 1,000 years, because the human molecule is actually designed to live like the tree of life, 1,000 years. We can live that long, and if you think in the Bible that Abraham lived or had a child at 800, we cannot comprehend, but it's absolutely possible that that's where the world is going in the golden yuga, talking about humans, you know, being much longer. The moment, you know, we'll enjoy healthier, more fulfilling, peaceful, harmonious lives, the moment you connect to the nature, the moment we're not criminals anymore, you know, the karmic diseases like cancer or, you know, all these autoimmune disorders going away, and us eating from the nature, we have to go back, you know, to a natural form of healing. We have to stop cutting the human body if it's not necessary. We have to do different forms of treatment other than the chemotherapy. And actually, we will discover, as I said, ways to heal cancer and any other epidemic. So our lifespan will increase due to all these significant factors. And I think that one of this will continue to be this DNA change. Because, you know, very soon I think that we will see how all this advancement in the medical field will have a lot to do with treating the body at the cellular level. Because the problem becomes at the behavior of the cellular level. One cell within your body says, I don't like what you do, so I'm going to remove myself. Then cancer is created, and then a part of the cellular system does want to be with the rest. And again, it's that conflictual situation that starts at the cellular level. Also think that The longer lifespan has a lot to do with some kind of a seen etheric substance that will be discovered, you know, that will actually, you know, keep the bind the cells to each other. So that etheric substance, you know, will be an amazing microscopic discovery that will lead to a revolution in medicine, allowing us to positively manipulate the way cells relate to each other and to outside influences. Because I think that we are aging, we are deteriorating based on all these factors coming from inside and a lot from the outside world. And I think that if we figure it out a way, you know, to bind the cells, if we figure it out a way to resolve these karmic diseases, if we find a way, you know, to go back to the origin, to the nature. You know, my grandmother lived 102, but her mother was 112. And boy, they live in the countryside, they didn't have absolutely anything.
Yeah. I bet they also had a tremendous connection and understanding of the spiritual laws of the universe and a greater respect for their own divine essence. And I think probably their thinking was positive and
totally different.
And
absolutely.
That's what's missing. That's why there's so much sickness and despair.
My grandmother was the most peaceful woman on earth. She lived in the northern part of Transylvania. They had no running water. All she was eating was from the ground. The fruits that she had in the backyard of her house. She planted her own tomatoes. Everything was with her own hands, you know. So she made her own bread. So she was talking about eating organic and eating healthy. She had no problems with nobody. When the communists came to her and took everything she had, she said, take it. I'm not attached to this.
Because she loved herself, her life, her family, and
yeah.
She knew her connection to the divine.
Exactly.
Without being religious. I'm not necessarily getting into any religious feeling.
You don't have to be religious.
Right.
You know that where the word religion is a Latin word that says the word religare, it means unity. Well, guess what? The church and all kinds of other forms of religion, they actually... you know what they did? They dissociated us one from the another instead of bringing us together. You know, so I really think it's about time to redefine the whole idea of God and the whole idea of religion. Because the whole
energy.
Idea of religion was originally beautiful, but it turned into something else.
Well, for me and many people, the concept of God and spirituality means to connect to the energy that we're all connected to and we all come from, and a DNA all comes from the same place. Life came from the same beginning. And once we're in this unity and once we're in this form of cooperation and peace and harmony, that will help to lengthen life and to make us all more fulfilled as human beings so we can create and we can move forward instead of staying stuck in ruts that are mostly made by the mind out of fear. So the next question I want to ask you, because this is important in what we're talking about right now, in your book, The 11 Eternal Principles, you mentioned the law of totality. And I believe that concept, if completely understood, is the way so many people are going to move forward and become healthier, more vital citizens, and they will be connected to universal energy, and they will be able to step out of the smallness of their thinking, and they will have greater health as a result. So can you tell us about the law of totality?
Well, in a second, I just want to finish an idea that I think I left it in the air. So talking about the future medicine, it all lies in this natural healing through these awesome foods, the mind, the light therapy, balancing our energy field, healing at the cellular level. And this is the way we will witness all these discoveries, you know, in regards to reducing the need to cut the body and understanding the integrity as a body as a whole. I also think that we'll use this embryonic stem cell through therapeutic cloning, integrating in all kinds of future therapies, everything that's going to happen. But coming to the law of totality is exactly, you know, that foundation of my book, because is the idea of being, as I said, united. So, and the number one law of the universe is that everything relies on everything. Everything is united with everything. And there is no progress and no move and no transformation if you don't understand the sacred connection. And I absolutely believe that the law of totality shows that all these other laws are integrated into one, that all the religions are integrated into one, that what's going to happen in the future because of the law of totality, the economic system will be condensed into one. So the way to actually survive through this time is understanding the law of oneness, of totality, and indirectly the whole idea of holiness. And this is where the world is going. And I think we will just have to wake up and embrace and step into holiness to create this ideal world that is ahead of us. And that's actually the way the world was designed to be.
Yeah, you know, talking about less surgery, less artificial means, and more preventative methods for our health. Now, my father was a podiatrist long ago. He's been gone a long time. But he always said to me to try to avoid surgery because obviously he understood this concept that we need to keep ourselves well by our thoughts and our actions and our behavior and preventative methods of living well, thinking well, and trying to avoid that as much as possible. And now it is the way to just have surgery, take another pill, and that's causing more dysfunction and more disconnection from our own internal being and connection to everyone else. So I agree with you there. And I'd like to go on to right now with the recent events in the world, rioting in London and the Dow Jones average dropping. How can we explain to our listeners the true concept of abundance and how to bring more of that into our lives individually and collectively? And I don't mean by abundance more money, more products. Can you describe that concept to us, please?
Well, I think the abundance exists in two realities. It depends what you think of abundance is all about. As you said, in abundance, it doesn't mean what you possess. And unfortunately, we as humans, we reflect everything in our minds as abundance is associated with your bank account. And what the world is teaching us is this is not exactly the true meaning of being living an abundant life. If you live an abundant life, if you have health, if you have people loving you, if you have that amazing idea of the family, and you're in good terms with everybody and you feel that support and you draw support on each other exactly in this critical time, that means living in abundance. And also, you know, putting, as I said, all this connecting the dots, that's so powerful. And I also think that we'll connect so much into the future and we'll wake up so much and we'll raise a perception at a level in which we'll be probably be able to discover life on other planets, you know, identify,
absolutely.
And then relocate on other planets,
mm-hmm.
you know,
realize,
as I said,
Carmen.
All this.
Yeah, Carmen, isn't it absurd to think that we're the only life form in the whole galaxy, cosmos, and, you know, that's why so many famous movie people, Spielberg, he's had many movies lately, Hereafter, all the movies that have spiritual concepts, even long ago, that showed life after life and alien life coming here to help and join with us and to grow. You don't have to think of alien life as being harmful or scary. It can be
positive. So true. That's so true. Yeah.
Right, and there's so much interest in it now, more so than ever before, because more and more people are beginning to know and understand that we will, if not in our lifetime, shortly after, be connected to people beyond this galaxy or this earth plane, and we will hopefully be able to learn and expand with everybody's suggestion and everybody's contribution. And I wanted to say in regard to abundance, I think this came from your book. I think you said, abundance is an energy state of love and gratitude for all blessings, and it's also created by giving to others, even when it calls for sacrifice. And that's something in this Mimi generation that many people have not been able to do, to move beyond themselves and to just give to others without expecting anything back, and sometimes to sacrifice something for the good of others and all of us in the end. So I thought that was very beautiful in your book.
I completely agree with that being the true meaning of idea of abundance and sharing exactly,
and giving and receiving love, and that is unity
and living in harmony, in a harmonious way. People don't live in harmony. They live in scarcity. They live disconnected. They live isolating themselves from the rest and thinking only of their problem, like they are alone on the planet. And that's why there's so much sense of scarcity and isolation. I think that's terrible,
And the more they think that way, the more they have that state of being. But I want to say, Joy, you and I know that joy can be present even in the face of sorrow and suffering. What is it we need to have? Faith in our divine essence and our eternal presence as human and spiritual beings. But, Carmen, you more than anyone can answer this question, knowing that life exists after life. How can you tell some of our listeners to move beyond the pain and sorrow of a passing of a loved one, and what can make it easier for them?
Hi, that's such a tough one because I went through this, with the loss of my parents and then the loss of my husband. And, you need to be very wise to understand that this is your own test. And we are here temporary, and as long as we're here, we're learning many things, and it's meant to make us stronger, not weaker. And it's communication, I think, is essence. It plays such a psychological effect on your mind. When you go through the loss, you need to know that there is communication. I've had so many people coming to me for therapy, and the way I helped them most was not to release their pain, not to acknowledge their pain, but to establish that tiny contact, with the people on the other side. Like, remember, there was a guy once coming to my home, and the moment he got through the door, that someone was switching the light back and forth, and I was telling him, I described him to his mother, and I said, "This, she just died," I gave him the name of the mother, and, the man from that point became someone else. I saw the shift in his eyes, in his vibration, energy, in everything. So that was the most healing. So what I'm telling for those who, what I'm saying to your listeners is, make sure you yourself do that communication, I had last week on Hay House Radio a caller who I asked, "Did your father die?" He said, "Yeah, he died." I said, "Well, get a picture of him and keep it by the bed." She said, "Well, there's no picture of my father in the house. I don't have one." I said, No. I said, "Your father said there is a picture of him." And the show was over, so I couldn't go any further where the picture was, but I got an email 2 days later that she found that picture. And that was so powerful. That was a validation that the father was there, and the father knew what he was talking about,
And Carmen, in just telling that story and in just using a very important word, communication, we need to communicate with people here. I see such poor communication, and that's why people become anxious and angry with each other, and they expect people to respond the way they want, but they haven't made their needs or wishes known. And I think communication between each other here on the planet and between our loved ones in spirit either at this point through mediums like you and I who can help them, or later on they will be able to do it themselves. And listening to the children, children have a very good connection, and if you listen to them, you can hear the wisdom that comes from them and from the guides or teachers or loved ones around them. But that word is the key. Communication can take away a lot of these fears, and I think that is the way to find what you have expressed in your book, holiness, and to embrace the sacred unity that will heal our world, and that unity will come from the proper channels of communication. So I want to thank you, Dr. Carmen Hara, and may you can... Thank you very much.
And you're so wonderful. I love you, my dear Cheryl. You're such a dear friend. I admire you. I adore you. I am so grateful for the chance and the opportunity to be talking to you. And I think it's an interesting topic. I think this is the topic that everybody should talk. What are we going to do now?
And they are, and it's going to continue. But I want to thank you, and I want you, and may you continue to share your vast body of knowledge about universal energy and its laws, and continue to offer to others the keys and tools of the spiritual dimension, because so many will be able to have the momentum and desire to harness the love of the divine because of work that you are doing. So for more information on Dr. Hara's work, go to www.carmenhara.com. And in summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Dr. Carmen Hara has given us a working plan so we can embrace the sacred unity of our divine and also our physical lives in order to raise our consciousness and to begin to live as the eternal beings we are, with a much better understanding of both our physical experiences and how our choices in the future are going to guide and lead us to an appreciation of all that we may cherish in life. By finding love within ourselves and a positive approach to any challenge, we will learn forgiveness, and it's possible for any perceived transgression. As an acceptance of the dichotomy of good and bad becomes possible, as we realize that through these opposites we will find balance, and the hope will be derived from a gentler approach to living with friends and family and the world community, and it will give birth to a new human experience, one where we do not find the need to change ourselves or others. And without projecting blame on anyone, we'll learn to accept and learn from our own human frailties and our mistakes. And then we're going to move past the illusion, fears, and limitations. And this giant step will allow us to find peace and joy and harmony in a world that must seek the cooperation of the entire human population. The time is now. And each of us will be the participants in finding a better way to live with greater health, abundance, and love. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within. And to learn more about energy healing and developing your own intuitive connection and abilities, go to my website, www.cherylglick.com, where you can also listen to radio shows with some of the most innovative and progressive scientists, healthcare practitioners, mediums, and spiritualists in the world.